Hopefully you guys have had a great weekend so far, getting to do fun festive things for the holidays, maybe Christmas shopping or doing those kind of things this weekend. I know it was great to hear the ladies event went awesome yesterday for that Christmas event. So hopefully you're enjoying the weekend, enjoying time together with family and friends and all of that. It's a great time of year to be out and about and doing different things and just enjoying also time at home. And I know it was great yesterday to do some Christmas cookies and all those kind of things. So I didn't get any pictures of Sandra's sugar cookies. I know I talked those up a couple weeks ago. I didn't get any pictures yet, but I'll try to see if I can get a picture sometime today, post that for you guys. I'm sure you're all very curious what her cookies ended up turning out to look like. So she's saying no, but I'm sure you're curious. I'm sure you want to know. So, all right. Well, it's about 5 after 11 or so. And so, I'm just going to open up with a few announcements, share some upcoming events and activities. Obviously a lot of people are still, you know, getting on and all that. That's great. Again, as you're kind of tuning in here, we're just going to kind of spend some time in the Word this morning. Unfortunately, just due to the icy road conditions, we really felt like it was best to just go ahead and cancel services today. Obviously, you know, it's not something we enjoy doing. We really try our best not to do that. But when it comes to icy roads, and a lot of the people in our church live on back roads, and just hearing how kind of treacherous really it was out there this morning, we went ahead and made the decision to go ahead and cancel services. So again, we'll do our very best to notify you guys as early and as soon as possible. So if you have not gotten our app yet, you can download our app, North Goodland BC, in your app store. That is the best way to find out if we're having any canceling of services or anything like that. Obviously, Facebook, we're going to push it through Facebook, of course, as well. We'll do our very best to text or call people that maybe we know don't have the app or don't have Facebook. But really, honestly, the app is the best way to get information about what we're doing with services. So if you have not gotten the app yet, please do so. And that'll be a big help to you. So a couple of things I want to start off with, some announcements this morning. And again, good morning to all those who are tuning in. Really appreciate you guys kind of checking in here, spending some time with us this morning. First things first, the teen Christmas party, which was scheduled for tonight following the evening service. Speaking with Pastor Greg, we're going to go ahead and move that to Wednesday evening. So it'll be during their normal time for church, their normal service times, and they'll be doing it at the church as well. So gift exchange, it's absolutely free. There's no cost or anything. If your student, your child wants to be involved in the gift exchange, they just need to bring a gift, $5 or less wrapped, and then they'll do an exchange where they can kind of get a gift and give a gift and all that. So it's going to be a great time. So this Wednesday, during our normal service time for the teen Christmas party, and I'm sure Pastor Greg will be, maybe he has already, send out something to the parents about that. Also, I'll let you know, Salvation Army, we still have that going on December 20th and 21st. So that's going to be at the Kroger in Emily City. If you did sign up, please make sure you note that and head on out there one of those 2 days. If you did not sign up yet, there are still a couple spots. So if you're interested, shoot me a message. We can let you know those specific spots. I think there's one on Friday and one on Saturday, or maybe two on Friday and one on Saturday. So I can give you more information on that if you're interested. Also, Refuge Week is coming up December 22nd through the 29th. So that's going to be an opportunity for us to host the homeless of Lapeer County. Really excited to do that, to be able to open our doors of our church to our community that way. So if you have not signed up and are interested, message me, let me know. We'd love to make sure we get you on there. Really excited to be able to do that. If you have any questions, let me know as well. Christmas Eve coming up, 6 p.m. Christmas Eve service. That's a great time for family and friends, a great time to invite people to come out. It's a wonderful service. We keep it to about an hour or even a little less sometimes. We know you got stuff to do with family and friends and traveling and all that, so we want to make sure we're aware of that, but we love Christmas Eve service, and so join us Christmas Eve, 6 p.m. at the church. We'd love to have you. Prayer Adoption, which is a prayer ministry of the church, That's an opportunity for you to be praying for someone in the church, but also have someone praying for you. So when you are at the church next, you can sign up at the Welcome Center. There is a sign-up sheet for that as well. Just put your name on there, and it'll be divided up and start up on January 12th. Also, just some reminders, we do have some services that will not be happening due to the Christmas season. So Sunday evening services, December 22nd and 29th, there'll be no PM service. And then Wednesday services, December 25th and January 1st, there'll be no PM services. And so if you have any questions, reach out and let us know. Also, something we're really excited about, I know it's a little ways away, Family Game Night is coming up on January 11th. That is going to be at 4 o'clock, 4 to 7 is the time on that. It's an awesome time to invite family and friends to come out. Really just bring your favorite board game, your favorite card game. We're just going to get together in Fellowship Hall and just play some games. Again, for all ages. We'll probably have a bounce house set up ready to go as well for the kids. But this is a great night for just coming out, having some fellowship. Dinner will be provided as well. And so you don't want to miss out on that. All right. So lots of stuff going on. Again, we pray you've had a great weekend so far and look forward to how you can plug into these different events and activities that are coming up. So, but let's do this. It looks like we've got quite a few people that are on. So we're going to go ahead and pray and then we'll jump into the word together. All right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for just your goodness, your grace, your mercy to us. Father, we pray that as we are getting together around God's word through this medium this morning, we just pray that you would be glorified. We pray that you would be honored. Bless this time as we spend time in your word. I pray, Lord, that you would be glorified in all that is said and done. Lord, we do pray that you would be with all those who are watching right now, all those who are watching later on. Lord, just bless them in a mighty way and draw them close to your word. Pray, Father, if there's anyone watching this live stream right now that either right now or later that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that they would come to know you before it's everlasting too late, that they would put their faith and trust in Christ and in Christ alone, not in religion, not in morality, not in good works, but Lord, in you, in Christ, believing by faith that you died on the cross for them, were buried and rose again. And so, Lord, again, would you be glorified in all of this? Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the technology that allows us to do this. Thank you for how you lead, guide, and direct. Father, may you again be glorified in all that's said and done. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Let's open God's word this morning to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We are actually going to continue our Christmas series, Christmas stories this morning. And so felt that would be a great way to continue through the series, even though I know we're doing this a little bit differently. And we are on week 3 of our series, Christmas Stories. And so if you've missed any of the first couple of weeks, you can go back either online here or on our app, and you can find the past 2 weeks and catch up on those, and pray it'd be a blessing and encouragement to you. So week 3 in this Christmas story season or series, we're going to continue talking about this idea that there are many stories that are told around Christmas, and yet there's one story that obviously trumps them all. There's the true story of Christmas. But with that, we understand that there are many stories that get told around this time of year. And a common theme in many Christmas stories is the theme of transformation. Many Christmas traditional stories, shows, and movies have this idea of transformation that takes place in someone's life. And that transformation moves them from a kind of self-serving, closed heart to an others-focused, open heart. And that's really that transformation you see around this Christmas season as you watch different stories or movies or books. Excuse me. There's many things that talk to this idea of transformation in someone's life through the course of that story. The most famous Christmas story told every year that depicts this idea of great transformation in someone's life from self-serving to others serving or others focused instead of self-focus is Charles Dickens' classic, A Christmas Carol. So the original Christmas Carol was written by Dickens in London in December of 1843. It has never been out of print, and it has been transformed into stage productions, movies, operas. So many different venues have adapted this classic story of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. It tells the story of an old miser named Ebenezer Scrooge and how his heart is changed through the course of the events that he endures. He lets go of his hurt from his childhood and the greed that drives him and sees the needs of the poor and how his blessings can actually bless others, and how he has been blessed, he can then bless others. And so this change that happens in Scrooge's life kind of drew to mind that the true story of Christmas is a story that changes us. So, whoa, what is that? I just saw a bunch of fireworks behind me. That was really crazy. I don't know. Someone did something. That was crazy. It was like fireworks behind me. It was really cool. All right. Anyway, that was an ADD moment. Like, whew, that was crazy. As we think about this idea of Scrooge and this transformation that he endeavors to receive and to go through as he endures that season of change and realizes that what he has is for others and not for himself, it kind of drew to mind that the true story of Christmas really transforms us. It changes us. It changes us from the inside out. And so as we continue to walk through these Christmas stories, I want to remind ourselves that while many stories accompany this time of year, the real story of Christmas is Christ. So while, again, this is kind of the goal of our whole series, while many stories are told this time of year, the true story of Christmas is Christ. And so if this true story of Christmas is true, if it really did happen, if Christ really took on flesh and dwelled among us, the co-eternal creator God took on flesh and was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life that was then imputed or credited to those that placed their faith and trust in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. If all of that is true, then that changes everything, including us, forever. If the story of Christmas is true, then it is greater and grander than anything else in our world, any story that's ever been told, anything we've ever seen or even understood in our world, humanly speaking, in the flesh. If the story of Christ is true and what he really did coming 2,000 years ago is true, then it literally changes everything, including you and I. And it is grander than anything else in our world. I love what C.S. Lewis writes in The Chronicles of Narnia when Queen Lucy says this: in our world, there was someone who was born in a stable that was bigger than our whole world. And I love that. And that's the true story of Christmas. There was one who was born in a stable that is truly greater than our whole world. And it changes everything. Look with me, if you will, Luke chapter 2 and starting in verse 8. And I want to share quickly that it's so cool being at home. My normal Bible that I use to preach with is at the office. And so I went into the bedroom and I was kind of looking for a printed Bible to use this morning, obviously using my phone as the camera. I can't really use that as my Bible. And so on the shelf, there was a Bible up there that was actually Sandra's Bible when she was in college. And it's pretty cool to see pages are kind of disheveled. There's markings all over it. You can kind of see even portion of Ephesians is kind of, you know, coming out of the binding here and stuff. But it's just cool to see this and to be reminded of when we spend time in God's Word. It's just a great blessing. It really, really is. And to see notes in here and different things that she did while she was in college is a great encouragement. And it reminds us that the time we spend in God's Word is so valuable, and it really does change us, and it conforms us to the image of Christ. And so just kind of a cool little blessing this morning getting to experience that. So verse 8. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the flock, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you: you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So this is a famous part of the Christmas story. We've heard this. We've seen this. It's pretty amazing, even in the secular culture, as we've referenced many times. You see this passage being referred to, obviously famously, in A Charlie Brown Christmas. Linus recites this when Charlie Brown asks, what is the meaning of Christmas? And I'm always amazed that even in our culture, even in the world around us, when we get to the Christmas season, there's this understanding to some degree of the real story of Christmas. Obviously, it's been colluded a little bit with other things, cultural things, greed, all those kind of things kind of take away from it. But we understand as followers of Christ that the true story of Christmas is Christ. And that story changes us. It changes everything about us. And to be honest, it changes our world. It changed our world 2,000 years ago, and it continues to do so as the true story of Christmas is told and retold generation after generation. So why does the true story of Christmas change us? Well, because when Christ came, our humanity was confronted and is confronted by the divine. So we initially, when the divine confronts our humanity, we initially react with fear. Look again at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. That sore afraid means very afraid. They were terrified. And we notice that when the divine confronts humanity, the initial response is not pulling out a list of questions or complaints. It's not challenging the divine. It's fear. They were afraid. They were overwhelmed with fear, not in confidence or arrogance, but in humility. So why are we afraid when the divine appears before us? Why were these shepherds afraid? Well, because the truth is, we know ourselves. We know how sinful we are. We know that we deserve judgment. We know how much we're projecting and kind of putting off like we're these good people and we're these righteous people, but we know ourselves. We know we're really not. And so when we're face to face with the divine, we instantly are made aware of our sin. We're instantly made aware of the rightful judgment that we deserve. And fear comes over us because we are fearful that we're going to receive that which we deserve, which is wrath and judgment. And so that's why these shepherds were afraid, I believe, because they understood who they really were. And seeing the divine pulled out of them this fear. And it's a healthy fear because we should be fearful when we stand before the divine in our natural sinful state because we do deserve wrath. We do deserve judgment and punishment because we are sinful to our core. We have fallen. We have rebelled against God. But I love that the angel's response brings about a different response from the shepherds. Notice the angel's proclamation in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see, we initially react with fear, but when confronted with this proclamation, fear is driven out. Fear is driven out. The angel tells them not to be afraid, but that he is bringing them good news, not news of wrath and judgment, but news of grace and mercy, the gospel news. Again, not judgment and wrath, but salvation and grace. He also reveals that this good news will become good tidings. This is directly connected to the gospel. Tidings in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, is a verb translated to tell good news. So it's really a verb that means to tell or proclaim good news. The verb is also frequently translated in the King James Version to preach the gospel. Other passages in Acts chapter 13, Romans chapter 10, where you're going to see this idea of preaching the gospel or communicating the gospel, it's a similar use of that verb to tell good news or to proclaim good news. As the gospel is the good news announced that not so silent night, it is the news that is proclaimed as good tidings. The gospel is also good news, not just for us, but for all peoples of all times. Notice he says this is going to be to all people for all times, a message of good news. That means that the news is so good that the people will be talking about it for generations. It's like this message that is so profound, so overwhelming, that no matter how long you live, you have to tell the story to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, and you just keep passing it down because you realize everything changed that moment in Bethlehem. Again, people will rally to this news and will share it with great excitement. So not only are we not to be afraid, but we are given this gospel news that changes us and leads to our worship being reordered. So why are we changed by the true story of Christmas? Well, one, because humanity is confronted by the divine, and we have a choice to make. Either we receive this good news and find the gospel, salvation, and grace, or we reject this good news and we stand before the divine in our natural state, liable to judgment, wrath, condemnation, which will come to all. The Bible is clear. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And if you are judged in your natural state, the Bible says, not Pastor John says, not North Goodland says, but the Bible says you'll be cast away. You'll be cast away into a place of hell. That's the rightful, deserving judgment of our sin. But in the good news of Jesus Christ, we can have eternal life and our sins forgiven if we will accept the free gift of salvation offered through Christ. So our worship is reordered when the divine confronts the humanity. You see, the angels reveal here the true hope that is available in the Christmas story. No matter how Christmas Day goes for you and I, if we get all that we ask for, all that we want on this side of heaven, we ask for whatever present or gift, maybe you're a young person watching this today and you've really wanted this or that certain item or that certain video game thing or this certain thing that you've been really hoping you get for Christmas, and you receive that. Even as an adult, there's things that we would love to have for Christmas, and we get that gift. We get what we've wanted. But there's going to come a point, whether that day or the weeks or even months ahead, where that item is going to lose its appeal. And we may even ask, is this all that really is? I really wanted this thing. I thought this would really improve this or help me in this area or bring me joy. And we find that while it may bring joy and it may bring a level of satisfaction because it accomplishes a need or it fulfills a task, there's going to come a point where we realize that that gift, that physical gift we received, is lacking. It's not eternal. It's temporal. Think about it this way. Not that we shouldn't give each other gifts, because we should. And I love giving gifts. It's a great way to show that gift of grace that we receive. So give gifts. Enjoy that. It doesn't matter the dollar amount. It could be a homemade card. It doesn't matter what it is. It's the heart by which we give it. But think about this. So many people fight and long for these things, these items, these possessions, and they think it's going to really change something. And yet so often we find those very same items in a garage sale years later, or at Goodwill, or in the dumpster. See, the point is, no matter what we receive physically on Christmas Day, as great as those things are and as enjoyable as things can be, they're not going to satisfy forever. They're not going to bring us long and lasting joy like the story of Christmas does. See, our worship is reordered, and the angels reveal to the shepherds the true hope. We must see that in the coming of Christ, our hope is not to be put on the shoulders of our spouse, our kids, our career, or our relationships. Christ steps in and invites us to put our hope in him, to put our hope on his shoulders. This is the power of Luke 2, 13 through 14. Look at it with me again. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Glory to God in the highest, and on peace, goodwill towards men, or on earth, goodwill towards men. In the coming of Christ, we see that our worship is moved from the stuff to the Savior. Our worship is moved from the stuff to the Savior. In the coming of Christ, all those things we are putting our hope in are exposed. And by the light of his coming, we see that they're enjoyable for a time, they're great for a season, they're enjoyable, they're a blessing, but they're not where we find our long-lasting hope and peace. He is the only one worthy of glory in the highest. He is the only one worthy of all praise. Part of the good news is that our worship is rightly reordered to emphasize Christ. We cease worshiping self and stuff and rather give honor and praise to Christ. You see, you and I have established in Christ, we are established rather in Christ, a place where our soul can find true belonging and peace. In the true story of Christmas, everything changes. Our worship is reordered. And lastly, the true story of Christmas changes us forever because our standing has changed. Our standing in Christ, in God, has changed. You see, it's good news first to the shepherds. In our culture today, we don't get the weight of the fact that the good news of the coming Savior was not delivered to the wealthy or to the elite or even the very religious, but delivered to shepherds, lowly shepherds. At the time of Christ's birth, shepherds were considered the lower class of society. The Mishnah, which is a Judaism's written record of oral law, says this as a non-biblical reference to how shepherds would be viewed at Christ's time. Shepherds are incompetent. No one should ever feel obligated to rescue a shepherd fallen in a pit. That's pretty incredible. In Jewish culture, they would see shepherds as the lowest class of society, even to the point where this Jewish written record of oral law would say, you don't really need to feel obligated to help a shepherd who's fallen in a pit. You can kind of overlook that. If it's inconvenient for you, don't worry about it. See, shepherds were viewed with a lower level of respect in the society. Germanius, known as the father to the poor, he was a bishop of Paris in the 6th century, writes that back in the time of Christ's birth, quote, to buy wool, milk, or a kid, which is a baby goat, not a little child, because that would be weird, but a kid, meaning a baby goat, from a shepherd was forbidden on the assumption it would have been stolen property. So there was even a view, not only are they lower level in society, we don't need to feel obligated to help them, but shepherds were viewed as primarily, like, mostly thieves. Like, if they tried to sell you something, it mostly was assumed they probably stole that. And I think back to stories you hear of gypsies and things of that nature, that where they're looked at as like this lower level of society, and that, you know, if they have anything, they probably stole it. It's kind of that mindset with these shepherds. Shepherds were viewed as dirty and competent thieves. And that's the group of all humanity in all of Israel that Jesus, or that God could have revealed the birth of Jesus to, that he could have given this message to. God sovereignly chose to choose a group of shepherds to give the first proclamation of the coming Christ. You see, shepherds, again, could not keep this good news to themselves. They had to tell everyone. How encouraging is that? That God chose this group of people to be the forerunners of the message of Christ's birth. That they went out, and the Bible says they went everywhere. Verses 15 through 20 talks about that they went and they found the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then it says that they had to make known, verse 17, they had to make known the saying which was told to them concerning this child. They didn't care about their reputation. They didn't care what people thought about them. They had to get the message out. And how encouraging is that to us, that we know ourselves, and we know that, as I already said, naturally speaking, we're fallen in sin, we're not perfect, right? We've all made mistakes, we've all fallen short, we all have limitations and weaknesses, and we think to ourselves, how could God possibly use someone like me? And he calls to you in Christ and says, I can not only use you, I will glorify my name through you, as you just are faithful. And doing what? Just making known what was revealed to you. That if somebody shared Christ with you, just go make that known. Tell everyone you can this message, because it changes everything. You see, God's economy is reversed from our world. In our world, the wealthy and the elite are chosen first and put ahead of the average, ordinary person. God, however, looks beyond all of that, looks into our heart and sees our desperate need for a Savior, and offers to us the grace and forgiveness of sins. In our flesh, we are dirty with sin. We have broken God's law, robbing him of due worship, and we are ultimately spiritually incompetent, unable to understand how to please the Father, and yet Christ came to us. And yet Christ came to us, and he extends to us this gift of salvation. In the same way God delivered the message of Christ to those shepherds out in the field, so he is delivering the message to us today. So will we respond as the shepherds responded by going to the Savior? First and foremost, going to him first. I love that's in the story. They didn't go out and share the message first. They went and met the Savior. And in so doing, were changed forever. And then began to proclaim that message. Well, are we willing to share that good news with others? When we respond practically and individually to the gospel of Christ, we realize that we are changed for all eternity. Let us also notice that these shepherds just went back to work. You see it. They went and they told everyone they could, all that they had seen, verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Where did they return to? Well, it's pretty clear. They returned back to the fields where they were working as shepherds. So tomorrow, we're going to go back to work. Many of you are going to go back to work. You're going to go back to the office. Students are going to go back to school, at least for another week or so. So as you return, having known the Savior and hearing the message of God, the gospel, and knowing it for yourself, seeing Christ in his word, having that relationship with him, will you return praising and glorifying God? Not only in sharing the message of the good news with your words and your actions, but also will we return praising and glorifying God even in the midst of a fallen world, even in the midst of a world that seems chaotic at times? Or are we going to get wrapped up in thinking like the world and stressing like the world and worrying like the world? kind of worried about the things that are happening around us? Are we going to realize that there was a baby that was born in a stable that is greater and was greater, will always be greater than our whole world? And he changes everything. And so I want to encourage you this morning as we get ready to close in a word of prayer. This message, this true story of Christmas, changes everything, including you and I. It changes our world and it changes our eternity. And so let me just share with you, if you don't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then will you right now, right where you are watching this, wherever you might find yourself, will you just realize and understand that you've fallen short, you've sinned? That's easy for us to do because we all know we have. There's no one that's convinced they're perfect. So if that's you and you know you've sinned, you know you've done things that displease God, you know you've done things that are wrong, would you repent of those things? Which means just call those things sin. Understand you've done wrong, turn from those things, and call out to Christ, ask him to save you, believing he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. And if you put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, you can be saved. Not by what you do, but by what Christ has already done. So will you call upon the name of the Lord today and ask him to save you? Receive this gift of Christmas, the greatest gift you can ever receive, by understanding who Christ is. If you're saved this morning and you know Christ, maybe you right there where you are, you would just call out to him and ask him to give you opportunity to make this message known. Thank him for calling you into service by using you as he uses all of us in Christ to glorify his name. Don't worry about what people say about you. Make it known, share the message, and watch God use you in great ways. I want to encourage you this morning. God is doing great things in our community, and I hope that we will be a part of that as we continue to share this message this Christmas season. Let's pray and ask the Lord to go with us as we go about the rest of our day. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you for this morning. We pray, Father, that as we spend time in your word today, as we look forward to what you're going to do in and through our lives today and the week ahead, I pray that you'd be glorified. Lord, I pray that as we go about our week this week, returning to those things that we find ourselves doing, the responsibilities that we have, I pray that we would do so glorifying and praising you, lifting up the name of Christ, because we have heard the message. We have heard the proclamation of good news to all peoples. And what a message it is, a message of grace and salvation offered to those that do not deserve it. And so, Father, we thank you for your amazing grace. We thank you that you would choose shepherds, those that the world, that society would look down upon at the time of Christ, that you would choose that group to be your forebearers, your messengers of the gospel. And Lord, it's so encouraging to know that you look beyond the surface of things and you see our hearts. And so Lord, help us to know that we are usable, even in our limitations and our weaknesses. If we need to repent, help us to repent of any sin and to call out to you for grace. Thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Thank you for the message of Christ. Thank you for the true story of Christmas. I pray, Father, whatever we find ourselves doing today in the week ahead, preparing for your, or to celebrate your birth, I pray that we would do it with a good heart, a right mind. Help us to be patient and loving and kind. And Lord, it may seem silly, but I want to take just a moment and pray that you'd help us to show that kindness to those that are working in various fields of retail and the food industry. Lord, they are working a lot of hours. What a great way to show that testimony of how you're working in us, by just being kind to them, being thankful, being patient. Lord, help us to model this Christ-likeness in a way that would draw people to you. Again, Father, thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you again for this morning, a chance to join together through Facebook and just spend some time together in the Word. I pray again that you've been glorified. Work now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in today. Merry Christmas to you guys. Don't forget Wednesday night. We do have service as normal. And so we'll let you know, obviously, if anything changes. But as of now, we're having service as normal. Word of Life Christmas party is Wednesday night for the kids. Teen Christmas party is Wednesday night for the teens. And the adults will have some time together in the Word and prayer as well. So have a blessed day. Enjoy time today with family and friends. We'll see you real soon. And again, thanks for tuning in. Have a blessed day.